talk about faith this morning, and I'm going to talk about it again this evening. And I'm going to deal today with verses 10 through 22, make a few comments on them. But I'd ask you, if you could have anything in this world, if you had the power to say, this is what I want, if you had this power and the ability to say, if I could have anything I want in this world, what would it be? What would it be? Would it be to be wealthy? To have lots and lots and lots of money? Would that be what it would be? Would it be to have health? Health, oh, what a blessed thing health is. Oh my, to have good health. Would that what it be? You say, Lord, I want health more than I want anything else. Would it be I want to be loved by everybody and liked by everybody? I'd like everybody just to like me. To be popular. Nobody to ever not like me. Would it be I want to be happy, happy all the time? Is that what it would be? And when you ask folks if you could have anything in this world, most of them give the answer, and they answer about things. Things. And things are temporal. If you can touch it, if you can taste it, if you can handle it, it's temporary. If you wanted wealth, you're going to leave it behind. If you want health, it eventually is going to fail. If you want to be popular, forget it. Somebody's going to dislike you. And there is no way under God's sun that people's going to be happy all the time. All those things are temporary. Everything is... And when you talk about things, I want things. I'd like to have this thing, that thing, and another thing. Everything in this world is temporal. Temporal. It's finite. Things that would give pleasure to a person now and enjoyment to the flesh, it'll only last for a season. Only last for a little while. But what about a believer? What about us? What about us who call ourselves Christian? What about us who call ourselves ones who trust the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we want? What would we desire if we could have it? What would it be? I think that if he gave much thought to it, I believe that there's two things he'd want above everything else in this world. Faith and charity. Now you think about it. Faith, to believe God, and the love of God in your heart. Charity. That's what our Lord said, you know. This is the charity is the greatest thing. Faith will cease. That if I could have, if you thought about it, wouldn't you want to have faith? And wouldn't you want to have charity? Wouldn't you want to have the love? Wouldn't you love to have faith to move mountains? Wouldn't you love to have faith that would never fear? Never fear. Wouldn't you love to have faith that would never doubt? Never doubt. Faith. Wouldn't you love to have faith that would never allow you to complain or murmur? Wouldn't you love to have faith that always, always could turn its back on self and the world? Wouldn't you love to have that faith that you say, I don't have to deny yourself and also turn your back on the world at all times? Wouldn't you love to have faith that would believe God without wavering ever? Faith, wouldn't you love to have faith that would be perfectly, perfectly content with this lot in life? Would you love to have a faith that would have no questions, but would always trust That's why faith. Oh, it's precious. Priceless. What kind of price could you put on having faith like that? Huh? Beloved, I do know this, that without faith, no one's going to be saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, to be accepted of God. And without it, it's impossible to please God. And I also know this about faith. Look what he said here in verse 2. I know that where this faith is, that I'm talking about, this faith that I believe we desire and want and need, and God gives to us, that the elders obtained a good report. Wherever faith is, it obtains a good report from God. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In fact, God says that where this faith is, He's not ashamed to be called their God. And our Lord Himself said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move. And I tell you, we have some mountains in this world. And I'm not talking about these great big mountains. I'm talking about spiritual mountains that we have to come through. Some of them, tough. But let's look at faith here. Let's look at what faith aspires to. What the aspirations of faith. Now it's talking about Abraham. It says back up in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he's called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But now look what he aspired to. And all the time he was in that strange land, sojourning with his two sons, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker of God. Now that's the aspiration of faith. You see, faith is not satisfied and understands that God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Faith isn't satisfied with temples and things of this life. We're looking for a city. We're looking beyond this world. We're strangers in a strange country, and we're beyond this world. And it says, faith isn't satisfied with temples made with hands. We're not looking and say, boy, look at our big building, look at our stained glasses, and look at our doctor that's preaching to us. We're not satisfied with that. In fact, look over here in Acts 17. Faith not satisfied with that. In Acts 17:24, look here. Oh, a lot of people are satisfied with their building, satisfied with their places of worship. They're more interested in the place they worship in and in the person they worship. They're more interested in the preacher that preaches to them and in the Christ who saves them. But look here in Acts 17 in verse 24. What Paul's, he's preaching on Mars Hill. This is what I'm talking about. He said here in verse 24, and you said, oh, the unknown God, we're declaring Him, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He's Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God's not in this building. God's not in Westminster Abbey. God's not in Rome. God's in His people. Christ and His people, look what he said. And neither is worship with our hands. What can our hands do to worship God? It can make idols. That's why folks waving their hands and giving, just give Jesus a big wave. God said He's not worshiped with waves. He's not worshiped with hand claps. He's not worshiped with swaying hands. That's what He's saying here. As though He needed anything. He gives us life. He gives us breath. And anything else we got, He said He gives it to us. All things. Ain't that right? Now listen to me. Faith, and that's why I go back over to our tea, look for a city which has foundations. Faith must have foundations. Faith must have some foundations. Look what he said. He's looking for a city that has some foundation, has some substance to it. Oh, seeking sands of this old world and its glamour, it won't satisfy us. And he's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's what we're looking for. That's what faith is aspiring to. We know that this world ain't got nothing in it. These buildings don't have anything in it. Temples don't have anything in it. We're looking for a building. We're looking for a foundation and a place that God has made a city. And you know what John said it was? He said, I saw a new city. Jerusalem. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that new city. We're looking for that place where this world here is nothing but sinking sand. And we're looking for a place that God, a city that God has built, and the foundations that He Himself has laid. And I tell you, praise, look, now you see Hebrews 10. Look with me in 2 Corinthians just a moment. You know, faith is looking for eternal realities. I feel sorry for people that this is the only world they got. Oh, I feel sorry for people that don't have no, that the only thing they've got is what they can touch and taste and handle. The only thing they've got is, the only foundations they got in this world is their own ideas and their own conceptions and their own opinions. Abraham, all the time he was traveling, God made him a promise when he first left the Ur of Chaldees. He says, now listen, every place you go, I said, I'm going to send you to a place and I'm going to bless you and oh, you're going to be the father of many nations. And years and years and years later, he said he never did have a place to dwell. Just went from tenth place to here, yonder and around. And but all the time he was traveling through that land, all the time he was going, he kept saying, boy, there's a city around here somewhere. There's a city that God's built. And I'm not going to be satisfied till I find it. Well, he found it. You see, faith is looking for eternal realities. Only things unseen. Now let me tell you this. Only things unseen are eternal realities. If you can see it, it's not eternal. If you can touch it, it's not eternal. That's what faith is doing. It's looking for eternal realities. Look what he said here in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Mary come to this the other day and read it, and she said, oh my, while we look not at the things that are seen, we're not looking at what we can see. But what are we looking at? We're looking for things that are not seen. Oh, grace, life, Christ, new city, new Jerusalem, a new body, new mind, perfection, no flesh to ever deal with again, no worries, no fears, no frets, all to be gone. And the things which are seen, but the things which are seen, they're just temporal. But the things that which are not seen, you know what they are? They go on and on and on and on for eternity. For eternity. Alright, let's go back over and look in our text again. Oh, faith is looking for a city. Looking for a city. And not only that, look at the fruit of faith. Look what he said in 11 and 12. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang of him one even as good as dead, though she was good as dead, many as the stars in sky and the sand. So you see, through faith, Sarah received strength. Received through faith, she received strength. To conceive a child. To conceive a child. God told her that she's going to have told Abraham. He says, now I'm going to come back at the time of life and you're going to have a child. You know what Sarah done when she heard God say that? Now the Lord appeared to Abraham. Lord, and I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's only talked to men through Christ. God's only met with men in Christ. And I want you to see this. You keep this. Look in Genesis 18 with me just a minute. See how she reacts. And then, you know what they say about one another in the Old Testament? When you get to the New Testament, none of those things are mentioned. You know, because God takes all of our past and does away with it. In Christ, in that, in the Old Testament, they had all these thoughts just like you and I do. And flesh. And then when you find them in the New Testament, you find them there viewed in Christ. And there's nothing mentioned about anything that ever happened in their past. You know, look at how Lot was. And then God, the only thing you hear about him in the New Testament, he was a righteous man. Oh my, look what he said here. Look how Sarah reacted now at God's promise in verse 9 here of chapter 18. Now the Lord's talking to Abraham. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. She was standing, Abraham was talking, she peeked out the tent door, she was standing there behind Abraham, and she heard the Lord tell him, you know that, and watch what happens now. And he said, "Certainly," and she was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now watch what Sarah does when she heard this promise. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. Oh boy. Hey, that just ain't no way. That's a fool's. That's a pipe dream. That's a fool. And that just ain't going to happen. No, listen. It's saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" We're too old. Too old. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" God, you know, she is in the tent. The Lord's outside. And Abraham didn't hear her laughing. God said to Abraham, "Why in the world is your wife laughing?" And oh my. And the Lord said this. And then the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old?" Listen to what Sarah, look what happened. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now listen to what Sarah does right here now. Then Sarah lied. She denied, saying, "I didn't laugh. No, I didn't laugh." For she was afraid and say no. And he said, "Nay, but you did laugh." Now look what it says about her over here. There she is laughing. Ain't no way this is going to happen. Catch her over there and say, "Well, I wasn't laughing. No. This is too serious to laugh about." And look what happens. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. Nothing's mentioned about. Oh, she laughed at God's great and precious promises. And almost, and I'll tell you, everybody until God does something for them, almost all laugh at God's promises when they first hear them. They think naturally like Sarah did. How in the world can me and my we're just too old? And they're like Nicodemus. He said, "When our Lord said you must be born again," Nicodemus said, "Oh, hey, no way that can happen. How am I going to do that? Get into my mother's womb and come out a second time?" You know, that's the way they do it. They just can't grasp it. But oh, she did believe. That's what it said here. She believed. And you know what she did? She judged, and look what it says in the last part of verse 11. But she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh my, that's the fruit of faith. Faith says we judge him faithful who promised. We had this promise, and God promised her that you're going to have one child, and through that child there'll be people come from you that's as many as the stars in heaven, as many as the sands by the seaside. Now how many reckon you will there be in glory? And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual seed. He's not talking about there never was that many Jews and never will be that many Jews. You recognize as many Jews stars in heaven? You recognize as many Jews? There's only about 2 million of them come out of Egypt when they come out of there as the sands of the sea. So our Lord's talking about His people. Start out with sand and end up with stars. No. And oh, beloved, I tell you, that's what she said. She said, oh, that, out of this one, she judged him faithful. Oh, my soul, God help us to judge him faithful. Has he ever failed us? Has he ever failed us? Has he ever not been faithful? Has he never heard us when we cried? Has he never called to us when we needed him? Has he ever failed to give us grace? Has he ever failed to give us peace? Has he ever failed to give us the gospel? Has he ever failed us in any way? We failed him 1,000 times, but oh, he's never. Oh, listen, Isaac, I'll tell you something about Isaac. This is the fruit of faith. Isaac sold 1 year. And you know what? He said he believed God. He said God's going to increase him 100-fold. The next year he had 100-fold. Put in 1, got 100. That's the way God does. He does exceedingly abundantly above what we can think. And we can think awful big. And what we think or can even ask, and we can ask for an awful lot. But He gives us more than that. Don't He? He has me. He has me. Now look back over here now in our text and let's go look at the vision of faith now. Here's the way faith is. We're talking about faith. How precious faith is. And look what He said in verse 13. The vision of faith. These all died in faith. They didn't receive the promises. They didn't receive them. Abraham, and, you know, and they didn't receive. Oh, these all died in faith, having received the promise, which was Christ, you see. But listen to what it said. Having seen them afar off. Having seen them afar off. You know, I know some of you fellows got these binoculars. You all go out hunting and that, and you take them binoculars and you look all over the place trying to find a deer or a turkey or something. Well, that's what faith does. Faith is the eyes that God gives us. That enables us to see all the way into eternity. Enables us to see Christ sitting at the right hand of God. Enables us to see that city whose builder and maker is God. Enables us to see the promise that when we're going to be sown in corruption, we're going to be raised in power. We're going to be sown in immortality, we're going to be raised immortal. We're going to be sown in corruption, we're going to be raised incorruptible. We're going to be sown flesh, we're going to be raised spirit. This faith, having seen Him afar, that's what our Lord Jesus said. He said, Abraham saw My day and rejoiced to see My day. Now how did Abraham see? He said he saw Him afar off. He had faith and he saw Christ afar off. Huh? Faith doesn't do as Moses. It don't have to climb to the top of Mount Pisgah and view the land afar off. That's what it does. He said it climbs up to the mountain and sees the land afar off. You see, we walk by faith and not by sight. And it says your faith saw the promises. Saw the promise of grace, saw the promise of life, saw the promise of eternity, saw the promise of forgiveness, saw the promise of justification, and all saw the Son of God coming into this world. Saw God and man coming, saw it all. And they embraced every one of those promises. And those promises persuaded them that there was nothing in this world worth giving up for that promise. Ain't that right? And that's what they said. That's what he went on to say here. Oh my, we're confessing we're strangers and pilgrims. They were persuaded there's nothing in this world worth giving up those promises that I see way out yonder. And then we've received the promises. We do have the promises now. They looked off for them. Huh? Oh, they were persuaded that God is faithful. They were persuaded that Christ is all. That's why Noah, the only evidence he had the promise, is that he prepared an ark. And I'll tell you what, God gave him a promise, and of Christ coming, and he got in that ark and was saved in that ark, and the only thing that caused him to build that ark was God making him a promise. And said, I'm going to, whatever God, he said, God said, Abraham, go. Abraham went. And I'm telling you that those fellas, those men, that they wouldn't give up their faith for this world and everything. And I'm going to keep traveling, I'm going to keep building, I'm going to keep laboring, I'm going to keep, they said, I see these promises way out yonder. And I'm not going to quit until I get them. Faith has eyes. And it sees way, way off. You know what faith sees? It sees a new heaven. It sees a new earth. It sees a sinless, perfect world that we'll dwell in all one of these days. A Christ to be enjoyed throughout eternity. When we worship Him and gather around saying praises to His holy name. But unbelief is blind. It can't see. And that's why He says the pure in heart shall see who? God. And you see Him now. And look what a confession of faith. That's a vision of faith. Look at the confession of faith here. In verse 13 and 14, he said, look at the confession here now. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Seek a country? Well, you're living. Well, not where I want to. not where I've got a place to live. And oh, where there's faith, there's a confession. And you know what they said? What they confessed? I'm a stranger here. This world is not my home. David said in Psalm 39, he says, I'm a stranger with you. He said, God, you're a stranger in your own world. Now, God is a stranger to most everybody in this world. He's a stranger to them. I mean, when we talk about the God of the Bible, He's a stranger to this world. His sovereignty, His electing grace, His covenant of grace, Him being God manifest in the flesh, being just and justifier, the one who gives us the righteousness of Christ, and Christ bearing our sin. I mean, listen, the satisfaction that Christ offers, He's a stranger in this world. You know, they talk about He's able to do all things. And just like this morning, they had on the news one of these that I told you about, them fellas handling all them snakes, and they had this reality shit thing on TV. They had all these guys handling these snakes. Well, I watched one of them. I watched that stuff, and one of them, old bald-headed preacher and young fella, and he dressed to the nines, and he's in that little old picture handling snakes. Got bit last week, died last night. There ain't no faith in that. Huh? You know what I confess? This world's not my home. And I run into snakes all the time. In fact, I got a little poison of asp in my own voice and my own tongue every once in a while. Don't you? But you know what the scripture says? When we'd be with Christ, we'd play on the cockatrice and aspen den. Said, there won't bite us. There won't be no aspens that got any teeth in them where we're going. Well, of course, that really ain't going to happen, but there ain't going to be no asp out of the garret. But anyway, that's what the... Well, I'll leave it go at that. But where there's faith, there's a confession. This world's not my home. This world, we confess that they're strangers and pilgrims. And I tell you, let me ask you this. Now, you go off and you stay off going for a while, and when you get home, you say, oh, ain't no place like home. And just ain't no place like it. And once you get there, you're not too anxious to take off and go somewhere else again. Stay home for a while. And you know, and do you ever get homesick to go to be with Christ? Do you ever get homesick, just get weary of this flesh and weary of fighting sin? weary of not having the faith that honors Him, weary of just dealing with the problems and the worries and the strife, and yourself. Do you ever say, "Oh, Lord, I just, oh, if You'd be pleased to take us home"? But I tell you, remember Ruth? Her mother Naomi was going to go back. She's going to go home. And she told her daughter Ruth, said, "You just stay here. Stay here with your family. You've got people here." She said, "No, I'm not going to go. Where You go, I go. Where You dwell, I dwell. Your God's going to be my God. Everything You got, I want." And that's what she said. There was nothing ambiguous about Ruth. There was no wondering about where she was and how and what she was. And it wasn't no wondering, well, does she believe or don't she believe? She said, "Wherever You go, I'm going. God You worship, that's where I'm going to worship. The God You, where You dwell, I'm going to dwell. I'm going to." And listen, the God, and that's, you didn't have to say, "Well, I wonder if Ruth is a believer or not." Huh? And I said, she declared plainly that I'm not staying up here. I'm going to go where God is. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to worship God. Declared plainly, there's no guesswork in her heart and mind. I tell you, this is the way. Let me ask you, do you ever describe people this way? I remember one time I was talking about a particular woman, and they said, "Well, who is she?" She said, "Well, that." They said, "Well, that's that woman that's got all that money. She got lots and lots of money." And there was two reasons for somebody to describe them that way. They want you to think that like that, that they got money. Want to impress you with her money. Or else, you are impressed with what they have. And either way, I feel sorry for anybody that wants to be described that way and for anybody that's impressed with it. I feel sorry for anybody that's impressed with it. Now, I often hear people talk about how much they make, how the cars they drive. But let me ask you this, what about their character? What about their character? Don't make any difference. A car has got doors on, it's got an engine in, it's got a key to it. And sooner or later, you're going to have to fix it. And your money, my soul, oh my God, have mercy on us. If we're impressed with anything that anybody's got in this world besides faith in Christ, enjoy life. Enjoy. I enjoy it. You enjoy it. I enjoy my home. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy my cows. I enjoy you. I enjoy my friends. I enjoy living. I enjoy wearing nice clothes. I'm glad that I've got enough money that I can go and eat what I want to eat and go where I want to go. I'm thankful for all those things. I really am, and I enjoy them. But God gave them to us, and that's not our life. Our life is Christ. Our life's not in things. And listen, what about people's character? What about people's interest in God? Huh? Yet a bit better yet, what about your interest in God? And I tell you one thing: a person don't want to do. They don't want to play games with God in this world. And I know this, that's why they said, you know, we're strangers and pilgrims. I'm telling you, this world's not my home, I'm passing through. And when people are not faithful, when people are stingy, when people are ambivalent about the things of God, you know what they're saying? They're declaring plainly that Christ is not my life, but just the church is nothing but a convenience store where I can go and get pumped up and get feel good about myself and make myself think that I'm doing a good deed for Jesus by attending church, and glad that the folks are probably glad that I'm there. And I tell you what, beloved, I said, oh, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. And let me should go over here now and look with me, and then again, let's look at faith, how faith is devoted. how faith is devoted. It says in verse 15, and truly, as they had been mindful of that country, now that country that God said they're walking through, they might have had opportunity to have returned from where they started. Let's go back. Let's, you know, well, we're halfway. We know God told us to go out here, but there ain't nothing out here but desert. If I find a well, I got to dig it. And I've been looking. I ain't found that foundation yet you all keep talking about. I ain't found that city yet you all talking about. And oh, listen to what they said. But they says, but now, if they'd have been thinking about it, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country, where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Oh, listen. But now they have been mindful of that country. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody that talked about, why did you bring us up out of Egypt because we had such good food up yonder, and they forgot about how hard their taskmaster was. They forgot about how hard Pharaoh was. And they said, why did you bring us out here in this wilderness? Let's go back over here. Said, there's some onions and leeks. We need good over there. And you know what God did? He killed every single one of them whose heart was still in Egypt. And if your heart's in Egypt, you just well be there. Faith has but one hand. And you know where it does? It reaches for it. It presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I one man said, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And our Lord looked at it and says, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And these fellows said, if you had been mindful of it, they could return. But they never entered their mind, I'm going to go back. Never entered their mind that there's something better where I come from. Is there anything better where you've been before you got to Christ? And to hear people brag about how mean they were and how sinful they were and how all the sins, they start enumerating their sins and bragging. That's like they really enjoyed and brag about being a rebel. My soul, let's not mention the things. We know we were bad. And I tell you, the worst kind of wickedness there is for a person to be in service and be self-righteous and think that Christ needs them and it's their righteousness with Christ's righteousness makes them acceptable. Huh? Oh my, did you enjoy sinning against God? Did you enjoy being a rebel? Did you enjoy that slop at the hog pen? Did you enjoy getting down there and eating that slop? Ooh, my soul, listen, that's what they said, be mindful of it. What's that? What in the world is there? What did we leave? And I tell you, a hog, if there's a person that's a hog, he'll always go back to this mire. Now, if it's a dog, he'll always go back to his vomit. If God don't make a man a new creature. And that's what these folks said they desire a better country. Oh, they desire a better country. Oh, listen. And I tell you, beloved, I am so thankful. Go back to where? Go back to what? Huh? Go back to where? Go back to what? Go back to false religion? Go back to legalism? Go back to fundamentalism? Go back to the world? Oh, if those folks have thought about it, they say, we go back. But is it ever in your mind that you won't go back to the world? You won't go back to your sin? You won't go back to being a rebel? Has that ever entered your mind? Of course it ain't. You know why? Faith. Faith makes you looking for something better. And then I got two little more points and I'm done. Look what it said here in verse 17, 19. Look at the trial of faith. Look at 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh my. God said, Abraham, take your son. Then he went on to say, your only son. Then he said, the son you love, take him up on yonder mountain. And you know what Abraham did? Never entered his mind. He just said, son, come on, we're going to go up on this mountain up here to worship. Yeah, we're going to go up there and worship. You see, real faith can abide the furnace and offer up its day. Offer up everything to God. Just give it up. Faith can say, listen, it's not mine. Here. And all faith can abide the furnace like the three Hebrew children. But the rich young ruler, he couldn't. He couldn't even part with his riches. Abraham could part with his son. Three Hebrew children couldn't part with their faith. But they'd rather be in the furnace as to deny Christ. Abraham put his all, put his dearest, put the promised seed on the line in obedience to God. And what caused him to do that? Out of love for his master. And you know what it says next? He said in verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up. If I give him... Now this is having seen them promises afar off. He'd done heard about the resurrection. He'd done heard about Christ. He'd done heard about the promises in this seed. My Savior's coming through my son. My Redeemer's coming through my son. And if salvation's going to come through him and me, then God's got to raise this boy back up. And oh, beloved, and he did. Oh my, he accounted God, and that's what faith works by love. And oh, he accounted that God was all able. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a rich man, or a man who seen a treasure in a field. And that treasure that was in that field, it was hid in that field. He knew that treasure's in that field. But what he done, he bought the whole field to get that one little treasure out of it. And that's what our Lord, he bought this whole world and the right to do with it as he is, to get you and me. And you know what? He accounted that God was faithful. And he said, all that the Father gives me, what are they going to do? Go come to me. And you know them that come to me, you know what I'm going to do with them? I ain't never, ever going to let them be lost. And not only that, but I'm going to raise them up again the last day. So I'll tell you what, just give it away. Just give it. And then let me hurry up and finish up here. Look down verse 22. The remembrance of faith. Look how faith remembers. Down in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died. And that's one of these days going to put down there. And Donnie. By faith, Donnie, when he died. Because see, they all died in faith. By faith, put your name in there. You're going to die by faith, going to die in the faith. And by faith, Joseph, when he died, you know what he told the children of Israel? He says, you know, God, you're going to depart out of here. You're not going to stay down here forever. God promised that you're going to leave and go up out of here. You know, remember when, and God made this promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, he says, your seed is going to go down into a strange country, and they're going to stay down there, and they're going to stay in bondage for 400 years. And at the end of that 400 years, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to bring them up. I'm going to deliver them. Well, that was passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob and Joseph, and they've known all these promises, you see. And that's what it means, having died, not having received these promises. But he said, listen, folks. He said, I'm dead, and I'm in a casket, and they buried him, and they had a great mourning, and a great, and all went on and on. And he said, but now, listen, God said he's not going to leave you down here in bondage. He's not going to leave you in Egypt. He said he remembered the parting of the children of Israel. He remembered the God that promised, the promise God made to Abraham. He remembered the promise of redemption, that God's going to bring them up. He remembered the promise of a land, the promise of a seed. And then look what he said. And don't leave my bones down here. When you go, take me out with you. And that's the way it is. When all God takes us up out of this world, He's going to take all Joseph and all the John Joseph going to go up with them too. When they went down there, they said, Joseph said, now don't you leave me down here. I ain't nothing but bones now, but I still don't want to be left in Egypt because this has never been my home. Oh, remember, listen, the Lord, the words of our Lord, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, mansions everywhere. And where I go, said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, my. And our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. We take somebody to the graveyard. And we remember. And we walk off and leave them. And they put all the dirt back over them. But our faith remembers. When we walk off and leave them. That they're not going to stay there. When God takes us up out of this world, they're coming up too. Ain't that right? That's the remembrance of faith. That's the remembrance of faith, ain't it? Remember all the folks. See you in the morning. You know where Joseph's at now? His bones was what they took up out of Egypt. He done went to be with the Lord. If Enoch was translated, what do you think he'd done for the rest of them? Oh, our blessed, blessed Savior. Thank you for allowing us to honor our Lord today. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not falter even on the brink of woe. Oh, bless your name, Father. Bless your name. Save you people in this place. Grant faith, like we mentioned today. And if they have it, oh God, they'll confess their strangers and pilgrims. We bless you for Christ's name. Amen. Amen.